Kind of getting your butt kicked here.
Oh, hit six, hit six! Oh, now you get to.
You need to down.
Experience our down state.
Hit one.
Keep hitting. I think you're gonna do it. I think you can do it if you just keep hitting him.
Is he backhanding him?
Yeah, kind of.
There we go.
There goes your valley.
Woo!
Now just hit six. Heal yourself. Hit it again.
No pressure, Sean.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 39th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We took the week off last week. You know, we were sunning on the beach and just, you know, not really doing anything.
It must have been really boring because I do not remember that.
I don't remember
any relaxing on the beach whatsoever.
That's right. We were at GDC. I forget. We actually did see the beach, though, but it was more like a harbor, I guess.
Also, it was cold.
Yeah, it was very cold. So, last week we were in San Francisco for the Game Developers Conference, where we got to see some Guild Wars 2 stuff. I got to play Guild Wars 2, which was amazing. So we'll talk about that. We have a huge show. I mean, I predict by the time we're done with this, it's going to be probably an hour and a half. I don't know. We're not going to read emails. We just cannot do that this time. There's just too much stuff. There's like the stuff about the thief, the new profession. There's crafting stuff. There's attributes stuff. I mean, there's the PAX East stuff. It's going to be crazy. So we're going to try to do this for you because we love you that much.
That's right.
So let's just get right into it. Let's skip the whole like what have you been playing stuff, because we know we'll just say Guild Wars.
Right.
How's that?
Okay. Guild Wars. Move on.
So let's start out with, let's go kind of chronologically here. I never really do that well because my mind is always all over the place, but let's try. Last week at GDC, we had a meeting with ArenaNet, and we sat down and we got to see a little bit from Guild Wars 2, and Ruby videotaped it. I say tape. I don't know. I'm old.
I had a little 8mm.
And we got that up on Massively, and it was great, you know, seeing that stuff and getting it out to people right away and so other people could check it out. And then I also got to play the video. Now, anyone who reads the forums or is a Guildcast fan probably got a good laugh at me, wouldn't you say?
You know, I think maybe they laughed a little bit, and if they laughed hard, I think they need to sit down under your circumstances and try to play and see how they do.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. I was talking to my guild about it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, people are calling me a noob and stuff, and they're like, noob? Like, a real noob is someone who hasn't even played the game yet, and, like, you're one of, you know, a few people.
Hi.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was funny. But, yeah, so I got to sit down and play The Thief. If you haven't seen it yet, go check out the video. We'll link it in the show notes. Essentially, they said, okay, you want to play The Thief? And I said, yeah. Sat down. Actually, I tried to get one by him first. Let me rewind there. I tried to be sneaky. It didn't work. I said, they're like, hey, you want to sit down and play it? And I said, sure. And they go, what class do you want to play? And I said, The Mesmer. And I look at them all. They're all sitting across the table from me, and they all have the best poker faces. They're just staring at me like, mm-hmm. And then one of them said, well, we don't have Guild Wars 1 on this computer. So, they were so prepared, you know.
What was funny was that, like, 2 seconds before that, we were all, like, laughing and chatting, and, you know, everybody was kind of smiling, and it just dropped.
Yeah, there was no, like, uh-oh, he knows, or there was no, like, what is he talking about? We don't have that in the game. There was, like, none of that. I couldn't tell from any of their faces, and I looked across all of them, and they were just like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all went completely blank.
Yeah, they were like, we were ready for you to say that, Sean.
They kind of knew that was coming, I'm sure.
But it was cool. So I sat down and I played a char female thief. I ran around and just did, you know, flips over people and cut them up and shot them with my dual pistols. I mean, it was just, that's all I remember. That's it.
It was
and press
pretty
six.
Awesome.
I remember press six. So I sat down. I made my character. I'm running through. They're telling me. They're giving me a little bit of instruction. You know, they're like, the big thing I notice is at first it's very overwhelming. You know, there's each item you switch to. Like I switched to the dual pistols or the dual daggers. Your skill bar changes, and it's not hard to grasp because you have, you know, your weapon skills, your item skills are kind of, you know, the first ones there in the bar. So, and you know, you don't have to worry about too much of the other ones, but. So I'm switching between them, and they're telling me how to do it, and press 6. I guess 6 was the one...
That was the self-heal.
Yeah, that was the back roll self-heal thing. So I wasn't doing it, because I'm like, I have to figure out like how to fight, and where's the 6 key, and what, you know? and it was like, it was pretty overwhelming, and it got to the point where they're like yelling it at me, you know? They're like, press 6, press 6!
Well, do you want to explain about the keyboard?
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel bad, like, trying to sound like I'm making excuses, but it was a dark room. It was an illuminated keyboard that was not illuminated. So, but it was funny.
Like a black keyboard.
Yeah, it was funny though because I'm looking for it and they're like, I'm like, I can't find it. And they're like, oh, let me check. And then the one guy, I think it was Chris Lye or somebody, he comes over and he goes, oh, you really can't see the keys. Like, okay, yeah,
surprise.
Yeah, but yeah, you got most of that on video. I think all of it, maybe.
Yeah, I think I got a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, but it was. It seemed like 10 seconds. It was like
it went fast,
pretty overwhelming. I had a lot of fun though. I think I grasped it pretty quickly. As far as you know, pressing 6. No, as far as like is learning which skills do which and switching weapons. And then when I got into the down state, they were kind of you know telling me which key to press there to get out of it. And then they have the initiative of the thief, which is like this bar of I think it's like 10. Maybe little dots, and you have to build them up with other skills, and then once you build it up, you can do these, you know, kind of like better crit combos and stuff like that. I mean, I was stealing stuff. I was stealing feathers from the moa birds, throwing them back in their faces. I was doing the kind of strafing and shooting at the target at the same time. That was a lot of fun. The run up. Oh, we were fighting those Oakarts, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I did the jump up in the air to try to do the backflip over them, and one of them like actually kicked me in midair and knocked me back down. That was hilarious.
That was just the mechanics of that. Just thinking about the mechanics of that are so cool.
Yeah, yeah. What else did we do? People were asking if we saw the crafting. I didn't get to see any of the crafting because I don't think they had that in that build. That's actually something they're showing off at PAX, and we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, I mean, what else? What am I forgetting? Is there anything I'm forgetting from that demo?
Oh, well, we saw the Norn starting area, which...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that almost... I felt bad because the Norn starting area almost was eclipsed by the thief. And what was funny was that we were all kind of sitting around at the beginning of the demo, and they were like, yeah, so we're going to show you the Norn starting area. And we're really just kind of sitting there because the way so much of this works is that you go to the demo, they show you the demo, and then they hand you a flash drive, and that's your press kit. So we went in, and that's what we were both expecting. We were like, you know, we were excited because we love Guild Wars, but so we're kind of sitting around at the table, and they were like, so we're going to show you the new Norn starting area, and we're going to show you the new class, the Thief, and it was just so casual like that that they just dropped it in, and it took us both a second.
Yeah, we're like, wait, what?
Well, hold on, back up, and then I like was lunging for my bag and digging my camera out.
And I had to whisper to you, and I didn't think they heard me, and I'm like, you were right, it was a rogue class. And they're like, what? What's that? And I'm like, oh.
And I was like, yep, I called that too. So it was a very, very cool surprise. The Norn starting area was gorgeous, big like you would expect, but very, very detailed. That impressed me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, well, and like I said, you know, Norn like everything big. They like it epic. And we learned, I think we talked about that last episode about the Norn week, where they talked about that race itself. And yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool to see that, some more information on what we can expect from, you know, from the starting area and the even character creation.
Yeah.
And kind of what they believe in and all that. It's really interesting stuff.
Well, we got to see the... I want to say tutorial, and that doesn't feel like the right word. But, you know, like in the human area, you go fight the centaurs coming in, and there's the little invasion. And in the Norn starting area, you have the great hunt, where there's this giant ice worm called Isimir.
Yeah.
And Erstikalgan from the books is there with her wolf Garn. So you know, it's kind of cool to see that little crossover there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were mentioning with that worm, that big worm that came out of the ground, they said they right from the beginning they want you fighting big stuff. You know, and that's just for the whole game. You know, they don't want you killing 10 rats and, you know, collecting the tails and coming back. Like, they want you fighting some epic stuff right from the beginning. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and that's something we've talked about before, in that we want it to get good right away. It's not, yeah, hey, you know, grind to level 20 and then you can have some fun.
Yeah, yeah.
This is awesome right out of the gate.
Yep. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the thief. Kind of break it down and what kind of things they can do.
Yeah.
Now, they have three special, well, it says they have a number of special skill types, not just three, but three of them that they list here are stealth, which is, you know, where they disappear into the shadows. It's a lot more than just the assassin's stealth. You know, it's a literal, like a kind of a predator, you know, from the movie Predator, where you kind of look invisible, but you can still see the outline a little bit.
Yeah, it's almost like a little shimmer in the air.
Yeah, yeah. And this allows you to kind of sneak around, and then, when the thief attacks, it'll break that that stealth. But one thing, the next little part of it is stealing. So they can steal things from other anything, literally anything in the game. They can steal from, you know, other monsters, mm-hmm, and kind of like neutral things that are walking around. And you can use those either for yourself. Some of them you can use. Like, a good example is the pirate. You can steal a bottle of rum from them, and you can either throw it at them or hit them with it, or you can drink it for kind of a buff. And that's how everything is. Now, one thing that they said is that this stealing ability doesn't break stealth, right?
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty cool, because then you don't have to worry about being caught right away. You can still enjoy your stealth.
Yeah, people were a little concerned about that. You know, if stealing breaks your stealth, then all of a sudden, poof, you're standing there vulnerable, mm-hmm, 6 inches away from your enemy, and that's not yep, good.
And another thing they can do is shadow step, which, you know, anyone who's played an assassin already knows that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of warping 10 feet away or whatever. And they also have a lot of kind of evasive maneuvers in general, not only the shadow stepping, but like we were saying about the self-heal is a kind of a back roll away from the battle, and then you heal up right away. It's not where you have to back roll and sit there for a second. It's literally while you're back rolling, you're healing yourself. So that's pretty cool. There's also traps, which we already know that the Rangers have traps. So this is like a second class with traps, and I'm really excited about that, because I was thinking, when we were talking about like a rogue class before, I said it would be cool if they have traps, but oh, the Ranger already has traps, so probably not. But here we go. They have them also.
But this, are you thinking like in the video we saw Caltrops?
Yeah.
That was extremely, extremely cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it looked excruciating. Did you hear the enemy was like, you know, yeah, ow, ow.
Yeah, he's like, ow, ow, ow. That's pretty funny.
Sounded like he was in more pain, though.
So these skill videos, they have five of them, like they usually do with these class reveals. Each one shows the skill being used. And the first one is Scorpion Wire. Now, Scorpion Wire, for any Vindictus players out there, you'll know that this is very similar to the chains they have in Vindictus. You can throw them. With Scorpion Wire, you throw it at the enemy, and you can actually pull them back towards you. And I can just think of so many uses for that. You know, you can probably pull people off of into like fire, or pull them into traps, or you know, and it does kind of stun them for a second too when you do that. So I'm really excited about that, because I love that mechanic in Vindictus. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, well, they have Scorpion Wire in Guild Wars 1. It's a little bit different mechanic, but yeah. Oh my gosh, I hate that skill so much. The Oni and factions are big fans of using that on me.
And but it's nice to be able to, like, it's yours now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm always excited when I see a Guild Wars 1 skill utilized and revamped a little bit for Guild Wars 2.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Familiarity, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because you already know what it's about, basically, but then you see this kind of improved version.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cluster Shot is another one. This is the one, in the video they show this little Asura thief. He's so cute.
He is!
He shoots like I don't know if that's a boy or girl. Can't really tell. But they're like these little these little mice running at him, and these like armored up mice. And he shoots a bow. And when the arrow hits, it explodes, and it kills about five of them. And then he does this, like, shadow step thing to get closer to him, and then he shoots the second group who actually ran away. It's a really cool little video. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is Leaping Death Blossom. This is the one I had a lot of fun with at GDC.
Yeah.
It's like you run over and you do this kind of like a flip, but you're, I don't know how to explain it, like your arms are down while you're in midair, so you're able to slice around like kind of a helicopter chop and do some real damage.
That's a good way of describing that.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know, it's a lot of fun. But because when you're zoomed in, your character kind of goes off the screen. But I'm sure if you're zoomed out, you can actually see it happen. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Let's see. This next one is Shadow Shot. Now this is the one that it looks like it kind of shoots you forward up to the enemy, like a grappling hook kind of. You know, like
yeah,
you shoot this arrow and it goes up to the enemy and then it pulls you up to it. But it's not like it pulls you; it's like it warps you almost. So that's pretty cool. It's like a lot of games have this. It's almost like an instant aggro kind of a thing, which is funny for a thief because you know they're not usually the tank. But again, you know we're getting away from that triune thing. You know, with the tank.
Holy Trinity.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity. So. So I like that a lot. Steal is the last video here, and this is one we talked about this a little bit. You can steal feathers from moa birds, you know, and throw them back in their face to blind them. You can steal, you know, bottles of rum. You can steal a branch from an oak heart and then use it as a club. They also say you can steal like seeds and use them for buffs, right? Like party.
Yeah,
buffs.
I loved that. Yeah. It's the versatility. The versatility is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess moving on from that, the weapons that a thief can have in the main hand, sword, dagger, and pistol, offhand, dagger, and pistol. So that shows you that the sword is possible as kind of a one-handed, but then they also have the dual daggers and the dual pistols. Mm-hmm. But they can also have a two-handed short bow as well. So it's almost like with the traps and the bow and the daggers, it's almost very ranger-like, but it's all, you know, more about stealth and stealing and kind of acrobatics and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's more sneaky until they're up in your face and it hurts.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a basic overview of the thief. I tell you, every time we see one of these reveals, it's always like, yep, I'm making one of those.
Oh, absolutely. I haven't seen anything that I disliked yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I actually really like the Guardian. And
yeah.
I didn't expect, I mean, they're so well done that classes I didn't expect to like, I'm looking forward to trying.
Yeah, yeah. In the demo we did, and the other demos we've seen, the elementalists kept throwing down walls of fire, like in front of us, and then we would shoot, you know, the dual pistols, and it would go, the bullets would actually catch on fire, just like with the ranger, where the arrows catch on fire. And then when they hit the enemy, they catch them on fire. So it's like an extra DOT. I'm really excited about that, too. I keep thinking about all the classes that they've shown. And then we watch some of these demos, and they show how they all work together so well. Like, in the PAX demo, we actually just watched this PAX demo, so I wanted to talk about this, because it's very exciting. Like, I literally told Ruby, okay, that's over. Let's record Guildcast now, because, wow. So I'm all, like, ramped up. That's why I'm probably talking a million miles an hour. I'm so ramped up for this. So in this video, in the demo, they showed it live from PAX East in Boston, and you'll see all of these classes working together. You know, the Guardian keeps throwing down these kind of protection bubbles. The Thief was the main one that we were watching, though, and you can see kind of how they were able to run around and kite the enemies and strafe around them and do all these kind of trickery things, you know, while they're being distracted by the Ellie and the Guardian. Which I thought was cool, and the effects that they were showing between the big booming effects of the Guardian, you know, with throwing down the symbols on the ground and the protection things, between that and like the crazy fire and like lightning effects of the Ellie, I mean, oh,
it was all very big and flashy and chaotic.
Yeah.
But what was cool was the thief zipping around back and forth in there. Doesn't look like she's doing much because she's not as flashy as the Ellie or the Guardian.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is doing some serious damage.
Yeah. So that's, boy, that's crazy. What did you think about that demo, though?
You know, it looked good.
That's all you're going to say?
Well, I don't want to sound negative, but I was underwhelmed I guess because of the way it was done, we've been seeing all of this for a week, and I think maybe we're spoiled because I was kind of like, so is there something new? Is that? And actually, I was you know watching on Twitter with like 1,000,000,005 other people, and I was like, okay, so the big surprise that we've been hearing about for a week and a half, I think, the big surprise was the thief. Oh, huh? Okay. And Martin Kirstein tweeted back to me and said it was supposed to be. The yeah. surprise now is watching a pro playing.
Oh. Yeah.
So I enjoyed.
Zing.
Well, I guess I enjoy. Well, and you know what's funny? I want to back up for a second. You were talking about how many people were like, oh my gosh, this guy has no idea how to play.
Yeah.
Everybody, and you know, after we got our video out, several other media outlets, they had gotten a chance to get a hands-on too, and I saw that. That was a constant theme. Oh my gosh, this guy doesn't know how to play. What a noob. This guy can't play. So I guess that was like a running theme. Everybody that watched all of these hands-on videos were like, well, he's not very good.
Yeah. I'm not very good at a game that hasn't released yet. That hasn't even been in alpha yet. That's
yeah,
horrible.
Well, apparently you and a lot of other people kind of suck.
Apparently.
But... So I guess the highlight for me was seeing someone who really knew what they were doing and could really get in there and let the thief strut her stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. I mean, I enjoyed watching that.
Yeah, and I totally don't mind being the butt of jokes for last week. Seriously.
Yeah, totally. That's always a good time.
What was funny is in that PAX demo, you could hear, I think it was Colin or somebody said, press 6. Like... I guess that's like a running joke now, you know, the whole press 6 thing. It's just like a...
Were you like, yeah, man, I feel your pain.
It's like a meme now. I'm a meme.
Great. But anyway, so yeah, a lot of other people came under the gun for not playing well, too. And that turned out to be so funny to me. So I guess they were like, okay, now this is what the thief looks like in the hands of someone who really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I did like seeing that. I guess I would have loved a big flashy surprise reveal. But well, we've had so much news in the past 2 weeks that this is almost like, yep, there's the thief.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not really their fault, you know.
No, it's totally not their fault. And that's
yeah, what happened was there was the reveal of the thief at GDC, and people weren't supposed to talk about it until today, the 11th. And everything was supposed to be embargoed. And we were, you know, nobody was supposed to say anything. And then game trailers, like that day, they released the info on the thief. They released the video. They released everything. And I don't know, you know, I'm not going to guess on what happened. I don't know if it was done on purpose or if it was done on accident or whatever. I don't know. But it's just they kind of spoiled the surprise for ArenaNet. And you have to think of how they feel about that. You know, they at that point, they were like, well, the surprise is out. Go ahead, the rest of you, go ahead and release your impressions. And that was kind of like the next day. So
yeah, those of us that held back.
Yeah, so they were kind of rewarding us and letting us do that. And then, you know, they had this big thing planned for PAX East. And that's the part I feel so bad about because they, you know, they wanted to do all this. They wanted to surprise everyone with all this big info. And then it kind of came out, you know, in the wrong way. I feel really bad for that because like we were talking to them after that and they were like, yeah, we're not going to be able to get you guys like any kind of, you know, screenshots or anything like that right now because, we weren't prepared for this.
We weren't exactly planning on this.
Yeah. But they did get them pretty quickly. Actually.
Yeah. And I'm definitely not like, you know, ArenaNet really disappointed me with this demo, but it's underwhelming because of what happened. And that's what disappointed me so badly because it's so much more exciting when you have the big, cool, flashy reveal and everybody's surprised and we can all sit back and enjoy. I guess I'm getting all kumbaya because we can all sit back and enjoy learning this together and having this awesome surprise unveiled. Mm-hmm. And we wound up with an underwhelming demo because of what happened. And that disappoints me so much.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, it's like you said, it wasn't their fault. They couldn't help it.
Yeah, but I think the awesomeness of the thief just overrode all that.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait to get my hands on this class. And I've said a couple times before, there's never been a question of what the first class is going to be. First thing I roll in Guild Wars 2 will be an Ellie. Mm-hmm. But when I saw the thief, and that's never, I mean, it's everything else has been a race for second place. I looked at the thief and I was like, huh.
Yeah, but didn't you feel that way when every other class reveal came out?
I never looked at another class and said, I might roll that first instead.
Yeah, I guess
everything,
that's true.
Everything for me was, what am I going to roll after I make my Ellie?
Yeah.
And this is a contender for first place. That's not happened with any of the other classes.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that. I think the allure of the thief is just everything it can do. You know, so many things at once with the stealing and the acrobatics and the, you know, everybody likes to play ninja, right?
Well,
you know, we all dressed up as ninjas when we were little and G.I. Joe characters, right?
Yeah, actually, my son was a ninja last Halloween, so.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like this primal thing. We all have to be ninjas. So I think I can see how a lot of people are going to roll thieves on day one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still going to roll a necro and possibly a mesmer if that comes out. But
it will. It will. I already told you that. So.
Yeah. So awesome. Okay. So that was, I guess a little bit more on this demo. Some things I noticed is they did a dynamic event in this demo. They ran into this city right outside Lion's Arch, and they kind of defended it. There were these pirates in there, and they were burning down the city. There were all these fires. So this group, and it was all like ArenaNet employees. They went in there, and they some of them were playing back in Seattle, and some of them were playing in Boston. And they went in there, and they, you know, they killed the pirates. But what was happening is more ArenaNet employees were coming in. You know, more characters were coming in, so it was the number of pirates were growing. Like more pirates were coming in, and they were explaining that you know, this is something we already knew, but it's a dynamic event that's scaling. So right. The more, you know, the more of a challenge you present, the more of a challenge that they will present back. And it became. He was explaining that a lot of the demo was kind of dumbed down, you know, just to show like a one shot here.
Right.
But that actually wasn't. So it took him a little while to kill all those pirates. But not only that, they also had to put out the fires. Like there was a well in the middle of town. They had to actually go get the buckets and take them to the fires and throw the water on the fire. And what was cool is it told on the right hand side how many fires are left, how many pirates are left, and the waves of pirates were kind of, you know, unending, like they would keep going. So you had to really kind of ramp it up to get the dynamic event to finish. And once it did, the NPCs came back into town. You know, like you can, the merchants would come back, and you can trade again, and you can craft again, you can do all this stuff. And he mentioned that if you didn't finish it, if you didn't save the city, they would actually, there was another part that he was showing that they were building catapults, and they would actually attack. What was it, Lion's Arch that they were getting ready to attack?
I think so.
Yeah, and he said they would actually attack the city, take it over, and then they would keep moving forward and attacking more and more cities and keep taking them over. So, I mean, that's incredible. You think about it, if you sit back and you watch this all happen, nobody does anything, you're going to lose a lot of cities. I mean, of course you can take them back over, but I don't know, that's pretty incredible.
See, I think that is so cool for two reasons. It doesn't feel like just a static gameplay thing where you're just, okay, you know what, we got to kill 10 pirates. Just somebody go kill 10 pirates. The other 14 pirates are fine. We don't need that many for the quest.
Yeah.
But two, once you're done and you've finished off this invasion, the realism of, okay, good luck with your burning village. We're going to go and collect our quest reward. I mean, there's that sense of you need to actually deal with the consequences of this event as well.
Yeah, yep.
So I got such a kick out of that.
Even the reward he was explaining, it just happens. You know, whoever is participating, you don't have to join a group, you don't have to LFG. Whoever participated ran into this group area, if they, you know, depending on what they did, they get rewards. They get whatever. He didn't explain about the rewards, but we've heard about this before with karma and things like that. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
That's so like living, you know, and it's. I mean, we've seen this again. We've seen this in Warhammer Online. We've seen this in Rift. Now, Rift is, you know, these giant rifts open up and you run in, and nobody has to join a group, and you get rewards at the end. It just seems like this is a huge improvement over that. That's what I'm saying.
Definitely.
That was exciting. Man, there were so many other things I saw in that I kept saying, "Oh, I need to talk about that. I didn't remember to talk about that." Let's see, another thing they showed off at the very end, they said this was kind of another of their surprises, was the what do you call that? It's like the Vigil Keep, but it was like not a faction. I guess, you know what I'm talking about? They had the Order of Whispers, Vigils, and they showed the Vigil Keep, and it's enormous. I mean, it was just so huge, but they didn't actually go in it, but they were just kind of showing it off. And it's right by Lion's Arch, too, because they ran to it.
Those are places that just... The next time I get my hands on the game, I'm going to be asking, okay, just point me in the direction of that. I just need to go in that and walk around for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah. And they did show off a little bit about water. They said they weren't showing off the water combat yet.
Yeah.
But they were swimming on top of the water. And when we played the demo at GDC, I remember I was swimming a little bit, and they were like, oh, don't go too far.
Yeah, you know? Come back. They're lying to you. You'll explode. You'll explode if you swim any farther. Come back.
You get the bends. That'd be awesome. There was a lot packed into this demo. We got to see the different classes work together. We got to see a lot of, pretty much everything the Thief can do as far as what they're showing now. We got to see dynamic events. They explained a lot about the dynamic events. They showed the down state. I know what it was. I was trying to remember. Rezzing. Anyone can rez anyone. There were dead NPCs laying around, during that attack and the dynamic event, and the character went up and rezzed an NPC, and they were saying that you actually get experience for doing that. So I thought that was pretty cool, because any class can rez.
Well, I like the encouragement to help other players, to help others, because that's something we've talked about before. I think it was like in Lotro, sometimes you can screw someone over by trying to help them.
Yeah.
So I like that there's a little personal incentive there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see. I think that was probably it. I mean, they showed that demo. It was just insanely exciting. But hopefully they have that, watchable, because we watched it live, but hopefully they'll have it recorded, and we'll be able to link that in the show notes. But, man, it was incredible. I mean, that's why, I'm all fired up now and ready to
record. Definitely.
But we do have other stuff to talk about. Some of the other things that they discussed last week include the attributes and iteration. This is kind of basic stuff. This is not anything hugely, revealing. I mean, they talk about they're going to have strength, agility, intelligence, vitality, perception, and willpower. If you've ever played D&D... If you've ever played most any RPG, you'll see all this stuff. I mean, I guess Vitality is a new one, but it's just increased health, increased defense against melee attacks. Willpower, that's in a few games, but, that's increased critical strike chance for magic attacks. This blog post explains what everything is and how, when you build your character that you're going to want to... kind of focus on certain things for certain types of play. And the big thing that you want to decide is power or toughness, or power or precision. Do you just want more power or do you want to be accurate? Do you want to have more power or do you want to be have more endurance? I mean, they go through this in this. I mean, it's a pretty long blog post, but we're not going to read through the whole thing because it's more about kind of meta build, It's more about, min-maxing and getting, the precision character that you want exactly.
Well, and what was interesting to me, it's one of those things that you don't really notice until it's broken. There was so much trial and error that they had to do, and it's cool that they've gone through and found so many ways, so many little things that will make this not work, and so many hitches that they've eliminated before players ever get their hands on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's one of those things to kind of help you get ready, which is pretty much everything they're doing here. Getting us ready for what to expect. And another one of these blog posts that kind of in that same direction is there's one from Andrew McLeod about crafting in Guild Wars 2. Now, here's the thing here is we knew bits and pieces of this already. They've talked about... they've talked about some of this. We'll talk about this in a second, but... Mm-hmm. We get kind of a layout of more specifics. The disciplines. We have a definite list of the disciplines, and they include weaponsmith, which is, making swords, axes, hammers. Huntsman, which is like ranged weapons, like bows, pistols, even torches and warhorns. Artificer, which is like magical weapons, such as staves and scepters. armorsmith, of course, armor, like heavy armor, leather worker, which is leather armor, medium armor, and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Tailor, which is cloth armor, jewel crafter, which is any kind of jewelry, such as rings, necklaces, things like that. And then there's the cook, which is all about, you know, consumables and crafting, or, you know, combat buffs, things like that.
Yeah.
So it's nothing new. I mean, nothing crazy and, like, unexpected. You know, it's all pretty much things that we've seen in other games. But it's cool to know that they have them in there and that it's going to be a lot more than just taking things apart and, you know, using the stacks of wood and stuff like that.
Well, exactly. And it doesn't... I don't know. I don't care that it's not some insanely crazed and innovative method of crafting. I'm just happy that it's there and happy that it's... as it looks very interactive and it looks like... it's much more in-depth than anything we've seen from Guild Wars 1 in that respect, so I'm content.
Yeah, oh, me too. I mean, what I think is interesting, too, is they say that there are upgrades that you can make. Like, an example they give is a weapon crafter can craft a handle which can be attached to a melee weapon to give the chance for poison to enemies. So that's kind of mixing in that Guild Wars 1 thing, you know, with mods and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So we have that. So we have kind of traditional crafting mixed with the cool stuff that you could do in Guild Wars 1 already. But one other thing that... well, okay, now, before I start that, you can have two crafting disciplines at a time. So I think that's cool, because some games have three, but, you know, some allow you to do everything, but that's a killer for bag space. But,
oh, my gosh, yeah.
So two, I think, is a good number. But moving on from that, they have gathering. And you can... there are three different types of gathering, and you can do all of them. So you're not limited. There's salvage kits, again, Guild Wars 1, looting, every game in the world, and there's harvesting, which is, you know, finding nodes and things like that. One important thing about harvesting is you might be used to, and this is not a new reveal, this is something I talked about before, but you might be used to finding a node in a game, run up to it, and some guy... you know, stole it right before you, like 1 second before
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And it's this game of trying to hurry up and get to the node. And what's especially frustrating is when you're in a group and you're, like, running a dungeon and there's, a rare ore mine a node right next to you, and you're like, okay, guys, hold on a second, let's not kill the boss, I'm just going to grab this real quick. And then the other guy is like, wait, I'm a miner too. Like, I thought we were going to roll on who gets these, you know?
Right, you're bickering.
Yeah, so it becomes this thing when I play with the group in Fallen Earth, we always joke, if there's like a big car sitting there that needs to be salvaged, somebody will run up and go, let me get that so nobody trips over it, you know.
So, nice.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, with Guild Wars 2, each node will be for each person. So even if some guy ran up to it and grabbed it, you could still grab it too. So it's like each one is, you know, harvestable per person. Everyone in your group can do it. You know, everyone in the vicinity can do it. So I really like that a lot. No, it cuts out that kind of, you know...
that stress and anxiety and competition.
Yeah. I mean, just in Rift, just last week, I ran up and I grabbed a node of something, and there was a guy... and I hate when people do this, and I did it, and I didn't even realize it, but there's like an enemy guarding a node, right? Which always happens. And this guy runs up and starts fighting the enemy, so I run up and I grab the node, not even thinking about it. And then the guy's like, you jerk. And I'm like, oh, crap. I didn't even realize that guy was going for the node, and that's why he's fighting. And I'm like, do you want it back? And then he just continued to call me a jerk and left. So I don't know. But so it kind of eliminates that, you know, that little unnecessary, you know.
Unpleasantness.
Yeah, so.
You know, and it's so funny to me. This is such a simple concept. Mm-hmm. Why did nobody do this before? Actually, now, and you know what? I can hear right now, I'm getting 17 emails telling me who did do it before. It's such a simple concept and such an easy solution mm-hmm. that I guess I don't understand why any games do it otherwise now.
Yeah. It's almost like ArenaNet sat down and said, okay, guys, what do you hate about MMOs right now? And they're like, oh, I hate looking for, you know, a healer. Oh, I hate when people steal my crafting notes, you know. So I think it's like they had this list of what they hate, and they said, okay, how are we going to fix that?
Let's fix it.
Yeah. And so it's incredible.
Like you said, love it.
Why did nobody think of this stuff before?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the basics of crafting. I mean, they're also going to have, they talk about they're going to have, you know, places to craft certain things, anvils for, you know, weaponsmith and armor and woodworking bench. I mean, that's all pretty basic stuff too. So it's good to know that they're going to have that in there. Kind of, you know, what everybody expects. You know,
yeah.
It's very much like LOTRO, I guess. I love LOTRO's crafting system because it all just makes sense. You know, you go to a wood,
right,
a woodworking bench to, you know, carve stuff, and, you know, I don't know. It just makes sense. No unnecessary craziness in there.
Right. Well, and that's what I like. That's what I've said about so many things at Guild Wars 2. In Guild Wars 2, I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I like that because you don't have to, it's not all this convoluted mess. It's just plain and simple, and what you, it's intuitive.
Yep.
There's a fancier word than what I was after.
I can never think of fancy words when I'm trying to talk on a podcast.
Yeah, well, I had to say the stupid one like 8 times first, and then I was like, oh, yeah.
Okay, so I think we've covered the thief. Well,
whew,
basically, we've covered the crafting. Yeah. We've covered the attribute announcements that they made. We've covered the demos that we've seen and the demos that we've had. But we have more news, if you can believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh.
For anyone who is a Guild Wars 1 player now, which is hopefully all of you, there was some huge, huge news this week as well, right?
There was a gigantic update. We finally got Embark Beach, and we were so happy. So let's see. What all? Oh, gosh. And I'm trying now to remember. We got Embark Beach. We got 7 hero parties. We got mercenary heroes. We got some huge title changes.
Yeah, some huge ones that kind of pissed a few people off, I guess. But some people are happy about it.
Yeah, well, I am. Yeah. I'm happy about it. One of them was that booze is not, you don't have to go through the minute, you know, wait 5 minutes for booze. And I actually was never entirely sure about how that system worked. I just clicked booze when the screen stopped swirling to a certain point. But the drunkard system was very, very complicated.
Well, essentially, this is how it worked. You get certain types of alcohol would give you, like, I think you had to get up to 5 levels of drunkenness. Certain ones would give you that 5 levels right away, so then you would be, you know, the drunkest you can be, and that's when you were earning the most points. And I think when it went down to about 3, maybe it was 2, I think. When you got down to 2, I think you stopped earning points. So you had to get at least up to 3 to start earning points. So you always had to maintain between 3 and 4. And I think it was every minute that it would go down a level. So you had to, yeah, like you said, the screen gets to different levels of drunkenness where it's like really, really swirly and crazy. It looks like you're in a tunnel. But again, that depended on what you drank too. You know, the rice wine was different from the stuff that they give at Winter's Day.
Yeah,
is that called? Eggnog.
Eggnog, and then it was different from the firewater.
Yeah, yeah. So it was really hard to tell exactly what was going on, you know, just by looking at your screen. And, like, you know, Loudon Swain, who we all know and love, he actually made a program, I think, that beeped every minute. And he made, like, a spreadsheet. Like, that's just crazy.
Did he really? Yeah. That's kind of cool.
He made a little program. He's a programmer, so he made this little program to beep every time he had to drink another thing. So he would kind of do that in the background. He should have sold it.
Could
have been, like, an iPhone app or something.
No kidding.
But now it's not done anymore. So, yeah, that's what you had to do. You had to maintain that between 3 and 5 level of drunkenness. And it was hard because sometimes, you know, you're doing that in the background and then you go and you do something else and you're like, oh, crap. And you don't. There's no indicator. You know, there's nothing that says you are at level 2.
Right.
So there was probably a lot of wasted booze.
Yes, I wasted a lot of booze.
Yeah.
But anyway, so after all that, the update was you just click the booze and get your points and move on with your life now.
Yeah, so you can do a whole stack, right?
Yes, and I cleared out an entire inventory tab.
I need to do that. I have so much I've saved.
Did you really? Yeah, that was the first thing. You know what? I actually did that while we were in San Francisco after I got this update. When I was back in my hotel that night, I logged into Guild Wars and I just sat there and I clicked booze. I am not even kidding, for like 10 straight minutes. My hand was so tired. Because I had a lot of like kegs that you get from Nick.
Oh, yeah.
That have 50 drinks in them. So each little keg, I have to click 50 times.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like that they've done that. I mean, it makes it easier. but it was kind of a little metagame in itself, especially when people would get that, you know, incorrigible Alehound in pre-searing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's pretty cool. But it had the feel of, you know what, let's just stop wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the booze update. The other two really significant title updates were Legendary Defender of Ascalon, Lieutenant Lingmar, and this one was very, very touchy, and I can absolutely see the point. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Lingmar is in pre-searing now. She's not a captain yet. In pre, she's a lieutenant, and she has quests that will scale according to your level. And those daily quests will allow you to get to level 20 without death leveling. And, man, I'm on the fence on this argument. I have not decided how I feel about this yet.
Well, let's explain a little bit about why people are upset. Previous to this, the Legendary Defender of Ascalon title was gained by getting to level 20. I mean, it's still, you know, you still get it level 20 in pre-searing, right. But previously, the only way to do that was through death leveling. And to death level, you essentially had to go. You get up to a certain point. You don't finish any quests. You can finish quests, but you don't turn them in. So you save all the quest rewards, because for the first like 10 levels, you kill the bull outside. You know, in the lake out there, you kill the dragon out in the water. You just, because those are level 5, so you do that over and over again until you get up. I think you can only do like level 6 maybe with those. And so you do that until you kind of stop getting experience for those. Then you go across the wall, you kill Char, you kill Oakhearts, and then you'll get pretty good. I mean, you can get up to like level 12, probably 13 by doing that. But then after that, it gets really hard. Then you have to start pulling the Char bosses that are on that platform across the wall. You have to pull them all the way back to the Red Shrine, which is not... it's not a small trip, you know. It's a pretty far trip. So you pull them all the way back there, let them kill you over and over again, so that you keep rezzing at the Red Shrine, and then that actually levels them. That levels the Char themselves, so that they get up to a point, up to a level. I mean, this could take all day. You know, like you set this up and you go to work, you come back at the end of work, and the Char are leveled, and then you kill the Char, hopefully. And once you kill them, you get like 100 experience. So to do this every day for months and months and months is the only way at that point to get to probably level 18, I'd say, maybe 19, because then at that point you go and you turn in all your quest rewards, and then you'll get from 19 to 20. And that's the only way to do that, or it was the only way to do that.
Yeah, this is a months-long process, literally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, months and months and months it takes to do this. I mean, if you think about how crazy that is, and I would love to meet the person who figured all this out, because that's pretty crazy. But, yeah, but the thing is, there were people who did it. There were a lot of people who did it. I mean, you would go through pre-searing, and you would see kind of the usuals, you know, the usual suspects would be kind of hanging out in District 1, and in Ascalon City, and a lot of them had that title, and it was kind of like a bragging right. You know, I spent months. I'm clinically insane, and I spent months, you know, death leveling Char to get to this level. So it was kind of a bragging right. You know, it was
very much a bragging right.
Yeah, it was absolutely the hardest title to get in the game. Well, now they've screwed all that. You know,
they made it easier.
Yeah, they made it now so that anyone can do it just through quests. And now, on one hand, I can see, you know, everyone that doesn't want to make a player base of people who have to do this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I can see that. I can see how. I mean, that's definitely a grind. It's definitely a way to do things that isn't normal. and while it was pretty fantastic that people did it, in my opinion, I think that it was still a bit much. So, you know, they got rid of that. And I think one of the main reasons they got rid of that is that so people can get that title for their Hall of Monuments. You know, so they can have 50-50. But, yeah, on the other hand, there are the people who spent all that time doing it, and now they're pretty pissed off.
Well, because they feel like their work has been invalidated. We talked about this a little bit on Massively Speaking, and you actually had a solution that I thought was pretty good. If you got that title before this update... Mm-hmm. What did you call them? You got a slightly different title if you got it the long way.
This isn't official or, you know, implemented. I'm just saying
be
cool if they did this, but it would be cool if the people who got it originally had like veteran, you know, Legendary Defender of Ascalon.
Right.
So that they're the ones, you know, it's a different title, and then the ones who get it now would just be Legendary Defender of Ascalon. I think that would be a cool solution.
And you still get your Hall of Monuments.
Yeah.
I really, really like that thought. I would love to see ArenaNet do something like that. I wonder, though, if it is too late. I wonder if that had would have had to be implemented before the update.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm sure they could look through logs and stuff, probably. But.
Yeah, they. But will they? I mean, that's... Whew.
They would have to do it really quickly, like right now.
Yeah. So, now the other title update is the one that I'm actually okay with. I'm not on the fence about this at all. Survivor. Now, when you die, you don't have to re-roll. Your progress isn't completely frozen on Legendary Survivor. You just have to get the 1,337,500 XP in between without dying. If you've died 3,000 times before... Your progress is reset, not frozen. You can still try for it.
Yeah, so if you die and you're level, you know, 13, you don't have to recreate a character and get do all that content again up to level, well, we can even say 19, all the way up to back up to level 19 to get to that point again where you were before. I mean, you still have to get that experience again, which I think is fair, but you don't have to go through all that content again. And I really like that.
I do too, because honestly, the way it was done before, and I never had a problem with it. And I, you know, that's basically because I'm just, you know, hey, it's ArenaNet's game if that's how they want to do it. But it kind of stinks of permadeath, and not a fan of permadeath.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, you've got these characters that you're invested in and you actually care about. Mm-hmm. And then you're presented with this choice. Okay, either you just, you can never have this title or you have to eliminate this character. You can't have this character anymore if you want this title. Yeah. And that was too hard of a choice. So I've seen a lot of Legendary Survivors now coming up in the past week or so.
Well, it does make it easier because you can get a lot more experience at level 20. You know, you can do some high-level end-game content.
Right.
And you can get, you know, 4,000 experience here and there. And I think it's a lot easier to do that than to make your way back up doing 100 experience at a time or 50 experience at a time.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah, I think it is. It's easier, but I think it's a really excellent solution.
It is a very good solution. I like that they're kind of helping us with the Hall of Monuments. They're not just handing it to us. You still have to work for it. Mm-hmm. But we have better tools now.
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing is, you know, and again, I think this goes back to maybe separating the titles, making a veteran version. But there are the people who had the last 5 years to do this stuff, and then there's this whole other group, which is probably larger, who are looking at Guild Wars 2 stuff and just getting into Guild Wars for the first time. You know, and there's, I mean, it's just an enormous group because they look at Guild Wars 2 and they say, this could be the most incredible game that came out in the last, you know, 5 years at least. So they're getting excited about it. And they're like, well, I never played Guild Wars 1 because I didn't like the, you know, how linear it was, or I didn't like that I couldn't jump, or I didn't like this or that. So now those people are all coming in. And I think that group, they just want to make it so that they have, you know, some reason to build up their Hall of Monuments and some reason to play Guild Wars 1, you know, before Guild Wars 2.
Well, and it's not so completely daunting. I don't want ArenaNet to just hand it to them. Mm-hmm. That would tick me off because, like you said, a lot of people have been there for 5 years, but I like that they're giving them good tools to work with and not saying, well, you have to do it just like, you know, we're not going to change it. We're not going to do anything to accommodate this new customer base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it's folding, you know, like under the pressure of all these new people. I think it's just, like you said, accommodating. So.
Well, it's just, it's smart.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we had the title stuff. We have, what else did we have? We had the Embark Beach. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, Embark Beach is actually pretty cool. It's just a central place where you can go anywhere in the game from this one area, which means that if you want to do some factions content and you don't really care what, you can go to Embark Beach and see who's looking for group and what they're looking for. And you have, this is a single place where you can have all of the factions content and find a group for all of that instead of jumping from outpost to outpost to outpost. Mm-hmm. And this is where all of the Zaishen missions are centralized now. It's a way for you to find all of the content in the game and somebody to do it with in one centralized location, which is just incredibly convenient.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, and it doesn't sound like much. I feel like the explanation should be more complicated, but it's so simple and so easy that I've seen a lot of people just flocking there that just want to play and aren't too sure what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And you have this option of going to Embark Beach, or you could just outpost hop for 20 minutes and check the party search window in every stinking outpost.
Yeah.
This is such a gorgeous, streamlined system. I love it, and I love how well it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that wasn't a problem, you know, when just Prophecies was out and then Factions came out. But then, you know, you start getting more content. You uh-huh. get Nightfall, Eye of the North, and it starts getting to the point where there are so many little outposts. And, you know, you just don't... I mean, they kind of made a solution to that with the Zacian stuff, you know, where they would have... and then they would have, like, different... Well, and Nick the Traveler, too, you know, uh-huh. different, like, events that would happen at these little small outposts, and then all of a sudden, you know, Bealeton would be overrun, and with more than just, you know, spam bots. And so it was kind of livening them up, but it wasn't... It was doing it little by little, you know, little at a time here and there. So I think this is a pretty good solution to that as well.
Yeah, this is all at once. And Zacian vanquishes are a thing now. You have a daily vanquish that you can do.
Cool.
Yeah, which makes me so happy. People have been asking for that.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, finally, we have 7 hero parties.
Yes. Oh, this is the greatest thing ever.
Are you so happy?
Well, I mean, the 7 hero parties mixed with the mercenary heroes.
Yes.
That's... I was explaining this to some friends, and they were like... Seriously? That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's just,
yeah.
It's so incredible. So, okay, so we have the 7 hero parties, which we knew about, right? I mean, we knew that was coming.
Yes, we've known that for a long time. People
yeah.
were impatient.
What? That happens?
I know, seriously.
So, yeah, 7 hero parties, so you don't have to have your friend join and then drop the group anymore with their heroes, you know. So we have that, which is pretty cool. But then the mercenary heroes. Now, I don't even know where to start. Okay, what it is you can add your alts on your account to your group as heroes, right? So you can form a party that consists of yourself. How's that?
You and your alts.
That's pretty crazy. So yeah, so I can have, you know, Walmart Special and BBQ Ribs and Priestess Julie. You know, I can have all these characters that I made in my group, and we can go out and venture. Now this is like, you know, Dragon Age or something, you know, where you can, except in Dragon Age, you can switch between the characters at any time, and, you know, which is pretty cool. But a lot of people have asked, we had some email, actually, people are like, well, this is pretty cool, but can you switch? Like, if you log off with that character, you can log into another one, and then you'll be in that same group? Is that how that works?
I am honestly not sure of that. I haven't purchased mine yet. I am purchasing an 8-pack. I haven't done it yet, so I haven't got to play with it too much.
Yeah, that's another thing, the purchasing. You want to explain the price on that? Because it's, ouch.
I don't know. I view it as reasonable, personally.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, that's something that I've always said. My opinion on what's a good value for my money is that this is, and not everybody feels that way. That's okay. So, you can purchase the mercenary packs, and you can buy one, which will allow you to take, you can assign it to a single alt, and that's $9.99. Or you can buy a 3-pack, or you can buy the full 8-pack, and the price drops with each one. The 8-pack is $44.95, or $44.99, I keep forgetting. But it's $44-something, which makes it, I think, around $5.50 per slot. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, it seems like a good deal to me. Maybe $9.99 for one. I'm even on the fence about if that's a little bit steep. I guess I can see how some people would. Yeah. But to buy all 8 for $5.50 a pop is pretty good.
Yeah, and I imagine most people are going to just go for that, you know, the full 8.
Well, and you know what? $45 for a single cash shop purchase, I can see there's a knee-jerk reaction of, whoa, that is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But for what you get, I think it's okay.
I mean, that's the price of a game, you know.
Right.
And it does, I mean, you could make the argument that this changes the game, you know, it makes it like its own game. But when you break it down to the fact that you're not paying a subscription fee and how long you've played the game already and things like that, you know, there's always that argument. I mean, you know, $50, $45 is a couple months, you know, in any other game for subscription. So when you think of it that way, it's not so bad. But here's what I'm thinking about this, is that I think they're doing this, as they've done with everything else, to get us ready for that mechanic in Guild Wars 2. You know, I think that in Guild Wars 2, we're probably going to have that, where we can make our alts. And this is the greatest thing ever. Have I said that yet?
Once or twice.
Because, okay, I'm going to make one of everything, right? And now that I'm going to be able to make one of everything, I'll be able to have them all in the party exactly how I want them. And, you know, like with the weapons and the skills and the, you know, the armor that I want them to have. And I love that. It's the greatest thing ever.
Can we call this the Guildcast It's the Greatest Thing Ever episode?
We can, yeah.
I know, right? There are a couple of little arguments that I actually have come down on the side of a few of these. A lot of people are saying that this is too close to pay to win. Because you get, and we had a really good discussion about this on the Guild Wars live stream last night. And people had a lot of varying opinions on this. And you get the advantage of choice, is what one guy was saying. And it's not fair that whoever ponies up the cash gets a better choice of heroes. Because you can roll, you know, you've got the three necros that the game gives you, and then you can roll three necro alts, and ooh, you get dual discord, and that's not fair that only the people that pay the money can have these cool meta builds.
Yeah, I think my argument against that is that it doesn't really matter. I mean, there's always going to be these meta builds. They've been meta builds since day one.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, remember Iway?
Yes.
So there's always going to be a way to figure out these builds that are uber.
Right.
But they're usually nerfed pretty quickly, and they're not always involving a full group of one class. You know what I mean? So for them to prevent that would prevent so many other things just for the sake of not, you know, of this one meta build that maybe will be gone next week.
Exactly. And I'm using dual discord as an example because it's been flavor of the month for a lot longer than a month. Discord wasn't around, I don't know, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. What did we, you know, we played Guild Wars before that. Mm-hmm. We played Guild Wars before whatever the current meta build is. So there is no advantage because this is going to fall out of favor and be replaced with something else down the road. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a pure vanity item.
Yeah.
So, and that actually brings to mind the argument, there's something I would love to see, even though I understand why it can't be done. I would love, your heroes get a share of the loot, right? Mm-hmm. And they get a share of the gold. I want to log into my alts and get that loot afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand why that can't be done, because that is, you pony up the cash, you can't log into Koss and get all of his loot. So yeah. I guess it's not fair that you pay the money and then you get more loot just because you paid real world money.
I don't know. I don't see that as something that's impossible because, okay, when you hire Koss, he's, you know, he's an NPC, he's a guy you hired, and he has like his own life and all this stuff. But when you, a little too deep maybe. But when you make alts, they're kind of like part of your family. You know, like you make them, and you know they're your people who play together. You know what I mean? So I mean, when you do that, that money should go towards you. You know, because you went through all that trouble to get them to the point they are. I mean, I guess you do that with heroes too. But I don't know.
You're preaching to the choir. I mean, I want this. I would love to see this. And if I'm playing with my, if I'm playing on my Ellie as my main, and my Necro and my Mesmer are running with me, and they're getting part of the drops, I want access to that afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I can absolutely hear the uproar if they did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can absolutely hear people screaming, pay to win, pay to win, pay to win.
Yeah.
So, and two, I have no idea the logistics behind making that happen. Might be a complete nightmare. I don't know. But I understand, I think I understand why they haven't done it. Doesn't mean I don't want it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I haven't seen, I've heroed up with seven in-game heroes since this update and done an elite area run or two. And I don't see any sort of gameplay advantage to paying for a mercenary hero pack. It feels like a vanity item to me. It's a vanity item I'm very willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. But I don't see any sort of gameplay advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those, you know, arguable points, I guess.
Yeah, totally opinion. I am dying to hear what our listeners have to say, though.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point.
Yes.
It's a perfect segue. As you may have noticed, we didn't do a roundtable episode for March, right? That's because of GDC, and then at the end of the month I'm going to Iceland and for Eve Fan Fest. So it's kind of a busy month for us, so we didn't really get that chance to do a roundtable and set one up and all that. But let's start planning for the April roundtable, and that will be on April 2nd, which we will record. We'll probably record it that weekend, I guess that would be the 1st. Let's see.
April 1st?
Yeah, but well, that's when the normal show would come out. That's the Friday. But what we're going to do is we'll probably record that weekend, either the evening of the 2nd or 3rd, which is a Sunday, anytime during that. So what I want to do is get people who may be interested to kind of the same as we did last time, where you write in to Sean@guildcast.com, and you send an MP3 of yourself talking about how you feel about this latest update. With everything. I mean, we'll talk about the title changes. We'll talk about Embark Beach, because there are people who are on both sides of the fence about that. And then we'll talk about the Mercenary Heroes, and if you think it's pay to win or not. And we'll even talk about the prices. You know, do you think the prices are too high? Do you think that this will be stuff that they're going to add in Guild Wars 2? And do you think that it's going, even though it's going to be a subscription list, that they're still going to be charging us, you know, $10 for everything? Like, these are the arguments that I want to talk about in this next roundtable. And I think it would be interesting. I mean, we can talk about class descriptions all day. We can talk about what the next class reveal will be all day. But I think when you break it down to what the players feel, this is the kind of stuff that I think is important. You know, is it too much or is it not enough? So, there you go. So, send me an MP3. Talk about just a really brief, you know, couple minutes. I just want to hear your voice and how good your microphone is and stuff like that. and I want to hear your opinion, too, because I want to get people on both sides. But just send me those, Sean@guildcast.com, and then we'll get people together. We'll record that weekend. Let me know a good time for you to record as well. Last time we had people from, you know, Australia, the other side of the world, where it was time zones were way, I think there's like a 12-hour difference or something. So we were still able to make that work, though, because we recorded on a Sunday. So I'm really flexible on time. We could probably still do that, you know, this time. And again, that'll be probably April 2nd or 3rd, right around there, we'll record, and then that show will be out the following day. So, yeah, if you're interested, there you go. Next roundtable. Even those who participated in the last roundtable, if you guys want to go again,
yeah,
send me an email. I mean, we had a good time last time, so.
That was fun.
Yeah. So, and then it'll be Ruby and I, of course, telling you all that you're wrong. No, just kidding.
Ah, no. Your opinions are wrong.
So, yeah, get those in. And I'd like to have those in by the 22nd, because I'm going to be gone that whole next week, and I'll be coming back probably the 30th, or 29th, I guess. So I want, you know, a couple days to be able to listen to the submission. So, yeah, get those in by the 22nd, and which is, you know, that still gives you a week and 3 days, 4 days.
And, that's enough time to talk for a little bit.
Yeah, and then I'll pick out a couple people. We don't want it too huge, you know, we don't want like 6 or 7 people, because Skype kind of breaks at that point, but pick a few people, and we'll have fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
And if you have any other emails you want to send us concerning your opinions on any of this other stuff, you can send it to Sean@guildcast.com, S-H-A-W-N, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, guildcast.com. We also have our Twitter and Facebook. You should check out. You should. You need to.
You want to. You know you do.
Yes. And then there are the show notes, which have links to some of the things we've talked about, including the Thief official Thief page, some of the you know, the videos that we did at GDC, and the PAX stuff. And that will be at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com.
Either one.
So, yeah. So, until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.